Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, as we're very much in the grip of the holiday season, we assess the future of consumer spending. We'll be discussing so-called silver spending, exploring how older generations' habits shift as people enjoy longer, healthier lives. We'll discuss the e-commerce trends too, as people continue to switch from bricks and mortar to online retail. And we'll explore the trends as they affect consumers in emerging markets, whether it's changes in spending on services like healthcare, or the growth of tourism, or the increasing importance of education across these markets. So settle in as our panel of experts explore all the key themes. We start with Caroline Simmons, a strategist for CIO UBS Wealth Management, and some background from the UK consumer viewpoint in particular. Caroline talks in more detail about the pressure on the UK consumer.
We're coming off the back of a couple of years of pretty good household cash flow. You know, wage growth hasn't been particularly strong, but it is positive in the order of sort of over 2%. Meanwhile, we've had quite low inflation in other areas of the cost line, such as in clothing, retail, food, mortgages, you know, all these costs have been coming down. So the household cash flow has been pretty good, which means retail sales have been pretty good. I think going forward, particularly with the impact of inflation coming through, some of that spending ability will be reduced.
And on changing spending habits globally, Caroline Simmons gives this overview.
We've seen a bit of a shift towards more experiential spending away from goods spending. So people are spending more on, you know, leisure, holidays, restaurants, that sort of thing. And generally spending slightly less on goods, so on clothes, on things like that. And it's also an interesting shift in that where the inflation are moving in different directions. So in goods, like I mentioned, clothes have been deflationary in the UK anyway for the last few years. We know white goods have been deflationary across the world for many, many years. Meanwhile, the areas that are probably growing more are sort of leisure and restaurants as well. And that feeds into, particularly for the silver spenders, they spend more on healthcare and things like that. And that is also it seeing inflation in its costs.
Now, Christmas season is very much a focus for consumer spending analysts. Does this time of year reflect the broader trends we see throughout the rest of the year? UBS sector strategist Andreas Thomasjet has more.
When we look at the Christmas shopping, I think it reflects what we already see through the whole year, that e-commerce is gaining share. People really compare the things. They have the opportunity now to check on their mobile if they can find a better product, a better price. And so we see that this trend, that the sales move away from brick and mortar stores into e-commerce and onto marketplaces, into online stores.
We'll have more on e-commerce in a moment, but it is to so-called silver spending that we turn next. The longer-term investment trend is that older generations are spending in different ways as people live longer, healthier lives. That's true, says Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek, but it's interesting to compare this demographic group with the millennials.
The older generations, they're a dwindling group, but still quite a force, because these are people who grew up through generations where they have more spending power, they have better pensions, they have more secure housing, so they have more disposable income in general. So if you look at millennials, two-thirds of them rent. So a lot of their income is going towards housing, whereas the older generations, the baby boomers and Generation Xers, may have paid off their mortgages, they'll have more solid housing situations, so they can afford to spend more money elsewhere. And indeed they do. If you look at, for example, eating out, Generation Xers, the people between 35 and 55, are the ones who spend the most overall. But compare that to millennials, they spend the biggest share of their budget, over 6%, according to the US Department of Labor, in terms of going out, enjoying themselves, and trying to make the most out of a situation where a lot of their would otherwise be disposable income is going towards things like rent, like travel.
More now on the importance of the silver spender. Is the story still that older generations are spending in different ways as they live longer? Caroline Simmons, again, takes up the story.
People spend differently depending on their different stage of life. And what we know is that we've got, in a global population, an aging population. So globally, the number of people over 60 years old is growing at twice the rate of the rest of the population. So you're going to get a shift in spending patterns as that weight of people coming into different age categories comes about. So clearly there's two elements to the older age spender. One is, you know, if they're not in good health, then obviously their costs on healthcare and things like that go up. However, there is also an argument that because people are living longer, the health of a 60-year-old or 70-year-old may be quite different now to how it might have been a decade or two ago. And therefore, they have this ability to go off spending, and particularly areas, you know, that they do spend on is leisure. So there's more holidays in that age category. You know, if you want to get really narrow, you can say that there are specific subsegments they really focus on, like cruise holidays are particularly popular. And also in areas of sort of maintenance of and care of the body, so whether it's vitamins or kind of anti-aging products and creams. And these are all areas that are growing, and we expect to grow at a rate of about 8% going forward.
Let's consider another longer-term investment theme now, e-commerce, and the idea that people will continue to switch from bricks and mortar to online retail. Andreas Thomasjet is UBS sector strategist responsible for consumer staples. What's his take?
Consumers will increasingly purchasing their goods online, and this is really a change in consumer behavior. Based on our numbers, we expect that e-commerce will continue growing around 15 to 20% annually in the next 10 years. Key reason there, probably we see an advance in technology and improving consumer confidence, which is driving this trend.
Is that trend the same everywhere? Yes, says Andreas, but there are some interesting areas specifically.
Of course, there are categories like electronics where the penetration rate already is higher, but we also expect in other sectors that we see this growth. In particular, we have this long-term investment theme also this trend urbanization. And as more people move into cities, we expect higher availability and also that people are trading up to global brands.
Well, in fact, both sectors look to be growing, according to Bloomberg's Sebastian Selleck.
If you look at a bit of research from Forrester saying that e-commerce sales between 2015 and 2018 is looking to be $150 billion, physical stores $300 billion, so double that. Both of them growing as more and more consumers come onto the market. The global wealth grows in general. And what's really interesting is when you see the two combined. For example, Amazon, we've seen their experiments with bricks and mortar stores. Just last month, they opened up a bookshop in Seattle's University Village. They've been experimenting with convenience stores as well. And what happens is you see traditionally online businesses go into bricks and mortar, but use the technology that's made them so convenient. So, for example, in the convenience stores, the ones that Amazon are opening, you pay with your phone. You go and you pick up your stuff. It tracks what you've bought and you walk out again. And that's a great example of technology being used to make everyday life more convenient. But compare even things we've seen already, things that are in active use, like their delivery lockers, where you order something online. It's click and collect. You sit there on your sofa, in your bedroom, whatever, and then you go to the shop and pick it up. And we've seen not just big online stores, but new starters as well. Startups look at pop-ups. And so there are lots of new innovative ways, both online and offline, that people are trying to create new commercial offerings. Just look at the amount of malls being built. I know in a lot of cities around the UK, certainly, they're still building. So the demand is there for more shopping offline as well as online.
Regarding the shift to online, is the trend from bricks and mortar to online retail still the driver? We asked Caroline Simmons that question.
The UK, for example, we've got about 18% of our retail sales are done online, and we're one of the highest countries. Some of the other countries, particularly in Europe, are lagging that quite significantly. So I do think over time you're going to see that increasing, and it brings about, you know, shifts in the way people are shopping and also some disintermediation. So in some cases, the middle man, as it were, sort of gets cut out and you go direct to the consumer because you've got the technology that enables it. So it does have some knock-on effects, and I think it is something that will continue to evolve over time.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the future of consumer spending in emerging markets. Consumers in emerging markets are increasing their spending on services like healthcare, tourism, and education. These are certainly interesting trends, and they're set fair to become even more so, as Andreas Thomasjet explains.
at the moment, our economies around the world are increasingly dependent on the service sector, and this requires education and further specialized training to produce knowledgeable workers. And in particular for parents, they are really interested that their children get a really good education, because education improves people's career prospects and reduces the risk of unemployment.
Sebastian Salek agrees that the premium sector is really interesting in this space.
I suppose you could class them all the ones you mentioned certainly, as premium goods and services, things that boost your quality of life. And as wealth grows in emerging markets, people have the disposable income to be able to afford these indulgences, moving away from the basics. And a really interesting example of this is China, where things like healthy food, education and travel, rather than those daily necessities, are becoming more in demand, are becoming more desirable. And so we're going to see the sales accelerate. A bit of research from the Boston Consulting Group and Ali Research, the branch of Alibaba, China's biggest retailer, point to three different trends in China that's going to see the boost in this sort of spending in the future. One is the rise of the upper middle classes as a big driver of consumption growth. Another one is a new generation, the younger people. So two of the things we've spoken about already, really, freer spending and a more sophisticated. And the third one, as we've said, the increasingly powerful role of e-commerce. So they put a few stats out. Through 2020, 81% of consumption growth is going to come from households whose annual income is more than $24,000. So this is people growing in terms of their household income, being able to afford more things. A second point they make is consumers 35 or younger, they're going to account for 65% of growth. So this growing millennial class of consumers that a lot of companies are so keen to target, because when you stick with a brand, you tend to build an affinity and stick with them for life. So catch them young. And that's an investment that's going to pay off later on. And e-commerce, they're looking at 42% of total consumption growth from e-commerce, and 90% of that coming from mobile e-commerce. So it's people sitting there on their phones rather than their computers. That's something we're certainly seeing more of in the younger generation. So all of this giving them more spending power to indulge in goods that previous generations in their countries may not have been able to afford.
Soledad Lopez, emerging market equity strategist at UBS Wealth Management, says that an interesting place to start, in EM terms at least, is the great acceleration in both tourism and healthcare.
In EM, the amount of inbound tourism for the rest of the world has increased three times, from 1995 with 100 million tourists to close to 350 in 2014. Another industry or sector that we see is going to work well is healthcare. When you think how demographics are affecting, you can see aging. For example, the United Nations are forecasting that the percentage of people 65 years or older will increase close to 15% by 2030. So in this sense, it will imply further healthcare in spending. And the other thing that is important is, as income increase and people live longer, the disease change. So you're moving from to this non-communicable disease, which is diabetes, hypertension, and this one implies longer treatment and higher spending, right? People live longer and all the disease becomes a bit more costly.
Healthcare is very exciting, especially in the EM space, adds Caroline Simmons.
It's certainly the broadest area, you know, particularly emerging market healthcare, for example, you know, which is an underinvested area compared with, say, in developed markets, and is growing very rapidly. And we think that that will be growing significantly above the rates of GDP. That is a very broad area. I mean, education is another area that's growing very quickly globally. And again, it's probably twice the rate of GDP growth. So we've got, you know, some very narrow ways to play it and some very broad ways to play it. And what we try and like to do is actually come up with a basket of different ideas of these sort of longer term trends that can be put together in a portfolio context.
Infrastructure projects and the rise of megacities are further interesting areas of expansion, according to Soledad Lopez.
In the case, for example, you have this growing urbanization translating to megacities. And as income increase, you have, for example, people buying more cars. You can see that usually when your income is higher, you tend to buy a car, and this increases the demand for high and infrastructure in the city. So, and in that sense, in the case of infrastructure, there is a level that the government can do, but then in the case of emerging markets, some of them are running fiscal deficits. So in that sense, we think the private market will have to step in and support the investment in infrastructure.
Finally, on the programme, Andreas Tomasiet highlights one other important fact regarding consumer spending trends in EMs.
The growth really comes from the rising middle class in emerging markets, which is responsible for growth in retail sales.
Andreas Tomasiet bringing us to the end of this 115th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or via iTunes or your preferred podcast platform. Do stay tuned to the show over the next couple of weeks as we look back at a pretty extraordinary year and ahead, too, at what 2017 might hold in store. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.